Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Power of Forgiveness. There are physical laws on earth which we deal with on a daily basis that are based on empirical observations of physical behavior. Likewise, God has instituted spiritual laws dating back to eternity past that are just as real. The forgiveness we receive from God when we repent is conditional because it is predicated upon our willingness to forgive those who have hurt us. When you harbor unforgiveness, God won't forgive you, nor will the Holy Spirit use you to minister to others because you are violating a spiritual law. The power of forgiveness is the ability to accept and live with the knowledge that a saved person is forgiven, restored, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. When a Christian understands this reality, the soul will be in harmony, paving the way for the physical body to be healed of its infirmities. This message is entitled, Forgive and Forget. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that you will help me, Lord, to present this message in such a way, Father God, that people will understand, they will apply it, experience it, and they will be set free. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to start in Deuteronomy. Chapter 18, and I'm going to point out a couple of things here, what can be done and cannot be done. And let me read the text here so I stay on target here. Mankind is not allowed to operate on earth apart from his physical body. Thus the soul, brain, and the spirit are limited to working through the physical brain, which can be likened to a computer. This computer is designed to control the physical body and its functions. If the physical brain is damaged, it would hinder the soul brain from fully expressing itself. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 9, we read this. When you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There should not be found among you any one that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consultant of a familiar spirit, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God does drive them out from before you. You shall be perfect with the Lord your God. One thing that God said is this. As human beings, we are not to move into the spirit world. The only spirit that we are allowed to communicate with is the Holy Spirit. Now, when we are in the Holy Spirit, there will be prophecies, there will be prophetic dreams, and at times, like we had in the book of Acts, we had Philip, the evangelist. He was ministering in the Gaza Strip, and when he was done, he was picked up by the Holy Spirit, or angels, and transported hundreds of miles to another location. We can enter the spirit world through the Holy Spirit. But notice now, he initiates it. I cannot initiate it. A number of people have been taken up into heaven. Probably the most prominent one is the Apostle John. And he wrote the book of Revelation and told us about his experience. But we are limited to this. We have to use our physical body, our brain, and we cannot enter into the spirit world like people do in the occult, where they do astral projection, spells, curses, and other things. We are not to do that. I have two examples here. One example of spiritual to physical hindrance would be a person in coma. The physical body is very limited in its ability to function. The soul can hear, at times express itself through blinking of the eyes or the squeezing of a hand. And we have seen this as we have led people to Christ. We've been in a coma, they can hear, they cannot communicate, but they can squeeze a hand or they can blink. We asked them blink one time or twice, so it's grace if you accepted Christ. It's limited. Now, my wife has Alzheimer's, and she's been in a care home now for 5 months. When I saw her Friday, she does not recognize me. She just looked at me like, you know, I'm anyone that's coming in. She has lost her ability to speak English, and that's with Alzheimer's. If you learn a language, a second language, you lose that. The last language you lose is the native language you have. So I speak to her in Swedish. She cannot really carry on a conversation. I ask her a few things. She smiles and so on. I try to pray with her, and she can't focus. And her soul and spirit is locked up inside that body. The Alzheimer's has eaten up more and more of her brain cells, and she has less and less function as she basically sits and lays down as the disease is progressing. So I cannot communicate with her. And so she cannot communicate with me because there's a law. We have to use a body. If you lose your ability in your body, you are limited. Now, we've been married for 59 years. We've been together for 60 years when we met. But as I walk in, the memory banks are gone. She looked at me, but she does not know who I am. She doesn't know the time anymore. She doesn't know where she's at. And she's happy just sitting there and wasting away. So, the body is important. Because if we lose the ability with our body, particularly the brain, you'll be very limited what you can do. Let me talk to you now about the law of forgiveness. And we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9 on. God forgives us when we repent. You may be dealing with an unconfessed sin or find it impossible to forgive someone who has hurt you. Unforgiveness is a sin. Unforgiveness is a sin. Refusing to deal with it will lead to an early grave. Jesus demanded that we have to forgive people for what they have done. And God won't grant you the mercy and grace if you refuse to extend forgiveness to others. Have you read now from Matthew 6, 9? After this manner, therefore pray you, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is not an option. It's a demand. And it doesn't matter how bad people treat you. You are commanded to forgive if you want to be forgiven. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18 right now. And this is a very powerful teaching that Jesus did. Let me illustrate this point here with you. When Jesus was thrown to the ground on Calvary, and they brutally stretched out his hands and starting to put nails in them to the crossbeam, what did Jesus say? Was it painful? Yes. If you have a fat nail driven through your hand, but they just hammer it in, that's going to be painful. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Forgiveness is a powerful thing in the spirit world, and we're going to continue to look at that now. In Matthew 18:21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Seven times? That's pretty good. Guy sin against you seven times? Eighth time, you clobber him. Jesus said to him, I sin unto you until seven times. But until 70 times 7. In other words, unlimited. You have to continue to forgive. It doesn't mean that you have to rub shoulder with them. But you got to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, you are not released. It's going to cause sickness in your body. And then Jesus said this, therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a man, like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents, or in today's money, it would be $3,840,000. $3,840,000. That's what he owed the master. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owe. This servant owed $3,200 in our money. He was forgiven $3,000,000. $840,000. He was owed $3,200, and he said, I'm not going to forgive that. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said to him, O you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt, $3 million, $840,000, because you desired me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his lord was wroth, delivered it to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. And now look at the last verse. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. This is not talking about salvation. This is talking about payments. In other words, you and I have an option. We ask for forgiveness from God. We give forgiveness to others. And we are released. Or you can simply receive forgiveness from God. You're saved. But you refuse to give forgiveness to others. And so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. There's a payment to make on earth. There's a payment to make at the judgment seat of Christ. I realized yesterday, as I was thinking and praying, that my wife and I, we never discussed the end of our lives on this earth. There were times when I said, we should have some kind of a trust, living will. We should prepare. And I would say, that's too depressing. I don't want to hear that. I get depressed. I don't want to talk about it. And so I couldn't make her discuss it. And so things progressed to the place where I could no longer keep her at home. And I had her committed to care home. And today, she cannot ask for forgiveness. She cannot pray. So I want to warn you. You don't know how you're going to end up. You might end up in a coma. You might not end up in a car accident. Something happened. And, you know that you should forgive. You should do this or that, but you're pushing it back. Something happens to you. And then you can't. And now you're stuck. Now you have to pay. Wellness begins with forgiveness. Before the creation of the universe and the universe, before the creation of angel and the universe, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit looked into the future and saw that what would happen once the creation began. God decided there would be no forgiveness for any angel who rebelled against him. So when Lucifer and a third of the angels rebelled, there was no redemption, and they were sentenced to eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I want you to think now. God created beautiful angels. But he had no redemption plan for them. They were warned. If you rebel, if you turn against me, God said, I will not forgive you. There will be the lake of fire. There's no forgiveness for you. Turn here to Revelation chapter 20 And we pick it up in verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Lucifer, fallen angels, evil spirits, no forgiveness. They are toast. Then if you turn to Exodus, and this is something that most people never really thought of, and that is the book of Exodus. And we're going to go to chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. And we pick it up in verse number 20. Behold, I sent an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Angels do not forgive. God's holy angels, they now are locked in. They can't sin. But when you cross an angel, he will not forgive you. They had no forgiveness, and they give no forgiveness. In Exodus chapter 33, what should we learn from this? You should learn this. Never mock God's holy angels. Never mock them. Don't make light of them. Don't cross them. Because they will not forgive you. And they will accept, they will have a punishment. Now Moses was not dumb. He was a smart cookie. And in Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 12, we read this. And Moses said unto the Lord, now he was thinking, see, you say unto me, bring up this people, and you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet have you said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray you, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I might find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And God said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Look at a key verse now. And Moses said to him, if your presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, God, if you're not going to go with us, I don't want to go with an angel. If you're not going to go with us, I don't want to go. Moses was smart. And you and I need to understand there is an eternal law of forgiveness. Let's turn right now to the second page of the outline. We have the creation of man, where God stood accused by Lucifer, and mankind was created to prove his righteousness. I'm going to read just a couple of verses from Romans chapter 3. And I'm going to pick it up here in verse number 24. Being justified freely by his grace through redemption as in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past to the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and to justify him which believes in Jesus. When Adam and Eve were created perfectly with a sinless body, soul, and a spirit, they did not know what had taken place before they were created. They knew nothing about angels. Lucifer's reign on earth, his rebellion against God, the terrible space war that had ravaged the universe. God knew that when Eve was tempted by the most cunning and evil of all the fallen angels, that she would choose to sin and seduce her husband as well. She would choose to sin and seduce her husband as well. This is why God instituted the law of forgiveness for the human race. To turn to Genesis chapter 3, and we pick it up here, the first 7 verses. Now, the certain serpent was more subtle or clever than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God has known that in the day you eat thereof, and your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They sinned. Now, God had forgiveness. In verse 15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." I want you to catch this now. For the angels, there was no forgiveness. You done it. You finished. Lake of fire. God created mankind to prove his righteousness. He knew that we would be up against Lucifer, fallen angels, and evil spirits. And we would not have a chance. And the purpose for our creation was to prove right God's righteousness. Therefore, God said, "I will have a redemption plan. I will forgive. I will have a Messiah, a Savior." There is a redemption plan for mankind. Now, this is a big deal. Can you imagine now that in the universe you have billions, trillions, zillions? There are angels all over the place, holy angels. On this earth, we got billions, zillions of fallen angels. And all of them are saying, "Well, we had no redemption. They have redemption. They can be forgiven. But there's condition now. You will be forgiven. But you also have to forgive." Let's pause. I want you to think. Angels, there was no forgiveness for them. Angels cannot forgive. Man can be forgiven, and man is commanded forgive. Two sets, two events. In Matthew 18:21. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I will forgive him to 7 times? Jesus unto him, I sin to you unto 7 times, but unto 70 times 7. And then if we turn to Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. "And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be you cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I said to you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's wonderful. But then Jesus added this. And when you stand praying in faith for all these things, forgive, if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. In my family, there was no forgiveness. Mom and Dad, I never heard Mom and Dad forgive. What they did was they simply said, okay, let's just move on. Grandparents, aunts, there was no forgiveness. Our family was raised. We didn't give any forgiveness. We didn't give it, and we did not receive it. It's simple like this. You crossed me once, I'm done. You're finished. Get out of here. No forgiveness. Well, when I got saved, God changed me. And I realized that I had to ask for forgiveness when I hurt somebody. I have to forgive when somebody hurts me. I have to live in this eternal law. Now, some people are asking this. How come your wife ended up with this terrible disease of Alzheimer's as she had served the Lord for 40-some-odd years? And I prayed about it. Matter of fact, we were talking about it for a number of years. I was talking about you have to forgive. There's certain things you got to release. Well, my wife simply was certain things she would not let go. And I told her, you're hurting yourself. We got to change this. But there was a spirit there, very powerful evil spirit. Even as she was baptized in the Holy Spirit, prayed for the sick, raised one person from the dead, had all kind of different gifts. That evil spirit hindered her from forgiving and releasing. And eventually, it came to the place where she now cannot do it. Her brain is shot. She can't express herself anymore. So it is very important that you and I realize forgiveness is not something we can skate on. It's important. It will affect your life on earth. It will affect when you come to the judgment seat of Christ. Let me talk to you now about the power of forgiveness. It is not easy for me to talk about my wife, but I've learned this, and I am not perfect myself. I mean, I'm corrected all the times. But I think it's important that we are transparent, because so many preachers, you only see the good stuff. You never see any problems. And people says, well, you know, I got problems. I mean, how come these people are living a problem-free life? No, they are not. We all have the same struggle. The problem is how you deal with it. Luke chapter 15. And this is a fantastic. I'm going to simply stay in the scripture here, so I'm not going to go back to the outline. I'm just going to stay in the scriptures. So we have Luke 15, verse 11. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. Number one, you don't walk up to your dad and say, hey, Dad, you're not dead yet, but I want you to give me my inheritance. I want to have mine. The Father here is actually God. And God simply said, okay, that's what you want. I do it. And not many days after the youngest son gathered together, took his journey into a far country, and then wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, the father didn't send a financial advisor and said, listen, you're wasting your money. If you want to waste your life and money, God says, go ahead. I will not stop you. You have a free will. And when you have spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He got hungry. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent me to his field to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave it unto him. There is a time when God says, okay, I'm going to let you have some hard times here. Maybe the pain will make you to repent. Maybe the pain will help you to repent. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. This boy now realized this. I screwed up. I made a mistake. I took out an inheritance before my dad was even dead. I wasted it. I don't deserve to be forgiven. I'm just going to ask him to forgive me and give me a job as one of his servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no worthy to be called your son. When you come to Christ and you are forgiven, God has been waiting for you. God had been waiting for this son to turn around. The son said, I'm not worthy to be reinstated. Just let me have a job like one of your hired servants. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found, and they begin to be merry. Notice now, the father said, God said, you are restored. The reason many of us are sick is that we have not been able to accept the forgiveness of God. We feel unworthy. We feel we have blown too many things. But let me tell you this. When God forgives, God forgets, and you have restoration. And then we read verse number 25. Now his eldest son was in a field. As he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother's come. Your father killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And the oldest son was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. There are people that when you are forgiven, they don't like it. They said, this guy should not be blessed. Look what he's done. He should make some payments on this. But when God forgives, he restores. Verse 29. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgressed I at any time your commandment, and yet you have never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this your son was come, which had devoured you living with harlots or whores, you killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead, is alive again, and was lost, and is found. The mindset of God is this. He loves us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to restore us. If we let him do it. Let's turn to your last page here on the outline. When God forgives, he restores. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 6 through 13. Very important verses. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. When you and I have problems with other people, and we are told we have to forgive, it's hard to abundantly forgive. We might grudgingly forgive. We might say, well, I forgive you, but I will never forget what you did to me. I will always remember that. That's not forgiveness. But I want you to see God's forgiveness now. He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways, my ways is the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, a lot of people make fun out of President Trump. Yes, he had women on the side. He's an adulterer. That's what he did. He did a number of things. But he also repented. We got to take a person for his word. We know that Christian ministers have been around him. They've prayed with him. He's asked for forgiveness. If God abundantly pardons him, shouldn't we also say, let's be glad I'm in marriage. Let's get the fatted calf out. When we see somebody that sinned greatly and they are restored by God, are we rejoicing or are we mad because we wanted them to get punished? Now, if Nancy Pelosi gets hit by the Holy Spirit, has a rip-roaring salvation experience, and begin to praise God, and begin to move in the Holy Spirit, would we rejoice or would we want her to go to hell? How about Hillary Clinton? There are certain people we wish they don't repent because we want to see them punished. But now we are thinking as the devil thinks. God wants to forgive the worst sinners possible. He wants to forgive and abundantly pardon. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When I was growing up, it was me and my brother Peter. Peter's 5 years younger than me. I was a terrible big brother. I would beat him up many times. Just whip him. I was bigger than he was. And there was nothing he could do about it. When we were fighting, other people outside, other children, we would stick together. but I was a bad brother. And so I moved away, came to America, got saved, actually gave my life back to Christ here. I've been gone for about 8 years, and we were going to come back for the first time to Sweden as walking with the Lord. My brother Peter, all these years, had waited to grow up and get bigger. And he had been thinking for years, when John comes back, we're going to go someplace, and I'm going to teach him a lesson. I'm going to show him what he did to me. He wanted to beat the tar out of me. Well, I got back. And he was kind of hostile to begin with. And then one day he said, you know, I don't recognize you. You're not the way you used to be. I don't know you. I said, that's right. I'm a new creation in Christ. He said, I can't beat you up now. He got saved. I led him to Christ. But that's what he wanted to do. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My brother and I have pulled together since 1972. We're still together. We build it together until death takes one of us home. We love one another because we are new creatures. We have the Holy Spirit. So I want you to see yourself now. Don't see your failures, all the bad things in the past years. But realize right now, you are a new creature, brand new. Everything is forgiven, abundantly pardoned. Begin to accept your forgiveness and live in that. Living in forgiveness. I don't have time to read all the scriptures, and I don't want to split the sermon up. I'm going to read the points and give you the scriptures to read yourself. Let me first turn to 1 John 1:4-10. After we get saved, we're going to mess up all the time. But we got something great going for us. We got the blood of Jesus. And these things write unto you that your joy may be full. This then is a message we've heard of him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no dark at all. John wrote this for your joy. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie unto the truth. But if you walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you have unforgiveness, ask God to forgive you. Ask God to begin to help you to forgive and release that person that you hate. That hate is going to give you arthritis. It's going to give you a heart attack. It's going to give you cancer. It's going to give you diabetes. All kind of different things. God said, I want to abundantly pardon. Let's look at my point here right now. Living in forgiveness. As a child, you should say this. I am no longer condemned to the lake of fire. I got to read Romans 8, first four verses. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If you are born again, you have been redeemed. You are saved from the lake of fire. You are saved from hell. Begin to confess that. Secondly, there's no more shame and fear. That's what Adam and Eve had. They had shame and fear. When you're forgiven, no more shame, no more fear. Thirdly, I'm a child of the King, joint heir with Jesus Christ. Romans 8:14. Beautiful verses. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. The Spirit itself bears witness with the Spirit that we are the children of God. When you are born again, you're a child of the King, joint heir with Jesus Christ. And then you are a king and a priest. Revelation chapter 1. These are fantastic verses. If you pick it up here from verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You are a king. You are a priest. The devil tries to take that away from you. This is a part of being abundantly pardoned. And then, this is the power of forgiveness. Psalm 51. You know, I'm not going to put a name on this, but I've been helping a person. It's a woman. And, you know, she had a difficult childhood. Lousy marriage. Done a number of things she shouldn't have done. The children turn out to be pretty wacko. Grandchildren turn out to be pretty wacko, not working too well. And the devil says, look at the mess. Look at the mess. Your parents were wacko. You were wacko. Your children are wacko. Your grandchildren are wacko. Now get depressed. And I said, the power of forgiveness. You are restored. It doesn't matter if you have murdered someone. The Apostle Paul had murdered a number of people. He was saved, restored, and became the greatest of all the apostles. Wrote most of the New Testament. He regretted it, but he accepted his forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. And he was able to express what he expressed. Let's read Psalm 51. This is King David now. King David saw a woman, raped her, committed adultery. She got pregnant. He had her husband killed. He then married her, put her into his harem, you know, just another wife, for 2 years. David thought, you know, no one knows about it, you know, I got away with it. Until the prophet Nathan came and told him, you have sinned. David realized, I raped a woman, I committed adultery, I killed the woman's husband for my lust, I'm toast. And then he realized this. I need to repent. Let's read this. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He said, don't give me justice. I want grace. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you may be justified when you speak, and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in inward parts, in hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. Now, purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was the top of his soap they had in those days. He said, wash me with soap, I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. He repented. God, cleanse me. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. What a prayer of a man that was a murderer, adulterer, a rapist. And then he said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. King David realized, I'm going to repent. And then he said this, I'm going to be restored. And from being a lousy, terrible sinner, I'm going to be a preacher of righteousness. And I'm going to teach people to repent and come back to God. Here's the bottom line of this entire message. The power of forgiveness. Here it is. God will forgive you. You have to forgive yourself. You have to let the blood cover everything. And you got to begin to say, Lord, I done this, I done that, but it's now under the blood. It's gone. I am abundantly pardoned. And I'm going to pardon myself. I'm going to forgive myself for everything I did. And I'm going to forget it. I'm going to be a new creature. And I'm going to live a new life. That's the power of forgiveness. You receive, you give, and you forgive yourself. Receive forgiveness, give forgiveness, and forgive yourself. That is how I'm walking myself. That's how I'm able to function day by day. I've done things I should have done. I almost killed a man when I was a teenager. I did a lot of bad things before I came to Christ. But I'm forgiven. I made a mess of my life. But I received my forgiveness. I'm giving forgiveness. And I have forgiven myself. God killed the fatted calf for me. He had a party for me. And God will do the same thing for you. You have the key. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. And you will have victory. That's the power of forgiveness. It's yours for the asking. It doesn't matter what you've done. God will forgive if you repent. Some of you listen to me today, you're not saved. And you're asking this, how can I be saved? I'm not even saved yet. Very simple. Just ask God right now to forgive you. Confess that you're a sinner. And ask Jesus to come into your life. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God, died on the cross, rose on the third day. He paid for your sins and said, come on in, Jesus. I want to be saved. He will do that. When we finish here, the screen will change. You'll see three crosses coming up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell. And he will take you through the plan of salvation very nicely and pray with you to make sure that you're saved today. To those of you that are saved, you have a choice right now. My wife is in a care home. I blame myself for not having done a better job with her, for not done everything I could. I failed. I can do two things. I can go and sit in the corner and just die myself. Or I went to God and asked him for forgiveness. And he abundantly pardoned me. And he restored me. I've forgiven myself. And I'm moving on in Christ. Knowing this, that my wife is going to be in heaven when she passes. We're going to meet over on the other side. It's just a temporary that we are separated. Please, start forgiving other people. Regardless of what they've done, you don't have to rub shoulder with them, but forgive them. And then forgive yourself. And receive forgiveness. And your body will heal, your soul will prosper, and you will have a great life. It's yours for the asking. It's up to you, Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that you have left us with guidance on this earth. And we know there are those that wanting to destroy the Word of God, but that is an exercise in futility. The Word of God will go on forever. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for our many blessings. We thank you for knowledge and understanding and the ability to be forgiven, the ability to repent, and the ability to forgive also. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the third part in the series, The Power of Forgiveness, and was entitled, Forgive and Forget. There are physical laws on earth which we deal with on a daily basis that are based on empirical observations of physical behavior. Likewise, God has instituted spiritual laws that are just as real. The forgiveness we receive from God when we repent is conditional, because it is predicated upon our willingness to forgive those who have hurt us. When you harbor unforgiveness, God won't forgive you, nor will the Holy Spirit use you to minister to others, because you are violating a spiritual law. When the prodigal son returned home and repented, he was not only forgiven, but his sonship was restored with all the rights and privileges. As far as the father was concerned, the son was restored into full fellowship, and his sins were remembered no more. Most people have not understood this wonderful truth and live continually in fear, shame, and condemnation. The power of forgiveness is the ability to accept and live in the knowledge that a saved person is forgiven, restored, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Understanding this reality will cause the soul to be in harmony, paving the way for the physical body to be healed of its infirmities. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1736. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.